All right, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. I taught this a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, but I just think it would be good for everyone to hear. So if it's okay, I'm going to give this again. And it says in verse 22, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took a hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This morning I want to talk to you about water walkers. How many wants to be a water walker? Anybody want to get out of the boat and do the supernatural with Jesus? Water walkers. This story, Jesus had just finished teaching for a day, and then he told his disciples to get in a boat and that he would meet up with them on the other side. So they're on this boat and crossing the Sea of Galilee when suddenly there's this horrible storm that comes, and there's wind, there's waves, and you know, this wasn't just like an ordinary storm. This was life-threatening, that the boat could easily capsize. And so they are in trouble. And it says that they are in this boat and they're a long way from land and they're being beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. Has anybody ever had a point in your life where that's how it kind of felt like in your life? You're a long way from land. You're being beaten by the waves, and the wind is against you. I know I've been there. When the wind is against you, it doesn't feel like you're going anywhere, does it? When the waves are coming at you from every side, it looks like wherever you look, there's trouble. And so that's where they're at. And it says in the fourth watch of the night, or 3 a.m., walking on the sea, that the Lord came to them, but they thought it was a ghost. They didn't recognize him. And they cried out in fear. And he says, "Take heart, do not be afraid. It's me, it's Jesus." And Peter recognized him, and he asked this question. He said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And so I want to bring out a series of points today, 7 points. The first one I want to bring out about water walkers: Peter here is the only one who gets out of the boat and walks on water. And I think that there's some things that we can see about his response that tell us what a water walker looks like. And the first thing is that water walkers recognize God's presence. Water walkers recognize God's presence. You see, it's around 3 a.m. It's dark. It's windy. There's waves, there's lightning, there's rain, there's everything that can happen to make you lose your sense of awareness is happening right now. And in the midst of all of this, Jesus comes to them, and not one of them recognize him. And then he identifies himself, and Peter immediately begins this dialogue with Jesus. And what we have to realize is that Jesus often manifests his presence the most powerfully and the most strongly in the middle of a storm, in the middle of chaos, in the middle of what looks to be the last place he is often right where he is. And we have to realize that we have to look for God's presence in the middle of a storm. If you're going through a storm today, it might look like the most unlikely place for where God is. But I want to tell you that that's probably right where he wants to manifest himself to you. That God knows where you're at. God knew the storm would take place. Jesus knew when he told them, hey guys, I'm going to meet you on the other side. He knew that they were in for a surprise in the middle. And I want to tell you that whatever you're going through today, God knew about it in advance, and he knows that you are going to make it on the other side. Why? Because often he meets us in the middle of the storm. Mark's version of the story says that Jesus was about to pass them by. And this wasn't Jesus ignoring them, but it was Jesus wanting to give a revelation of himself. In other words, that he was wanting them to see a different side of him. And in the midst of this storm, he was trying to show them that they can trust him. That he's not going to leave them all by themselves and not help them. And Peter recognizes God's presence, and he begins this dialogue with Jesus. Peter saw that this was an opportunity to get to know the Lord more. That this was an opportunity to draw closer to the Lord. Has anybody ever been like these disciples in a storm at 3 a.m.? And the presence of God came and joined himself to you? Has anybody ever been in the middle of a storm and suddenly God made his presence manifested among you and it helped you? And I want to tell you that oftentimes it's in the middle of those storms where we will experience the power and the presence of God the most. Right. Amen. That whatever you're going through today, whatever you're going through today is an opportunity for you to experience the presence of God. Because it's only when the storms come and it's only when the waves are crashing against our boat and it's only when everything like that is happening that oftentimes we can realize how much we need Jesus. So point number two, water walkers discern between foolishness and obedience. Peter sees Jesus, and he asks this question in verse 28. He said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked upon the water. You know, this story has always intrigued me. Has it ever intrigued anyone else that either Peter is crazy or he just really loves Jesus? That... You know, have you ever met like those risk takers or those people that are just a little bit off and they'll do anything? You just got to suggest it and they'll jump out of the boat, they'll jump out of the plane, they'll do the crazy things. And I think maybe Peter's got a little bit of that in him, but he also had enough respect to ask the Lord, Lord, is it you? And can I come and be out there with you? And oftentimes, we need to get out of our boat. Yes, we do. Oftentimes, we're only going to experience more of God unless we get out of that boat. We're only going to experience what he has for us if we get out of that boat. But we always have to ask. Whenever an opportunity comes, maybe we think it's a new job opportunity, maybe we think it's a new relationship opportunity, or any new opportunity in our life, it's always wise to ask the Lord if he wants us to get out of the boat. And courage alone isn't enough. We have to have wisdom and discernment. I think the Lord appreciated the fact that Peter asked the question, Lord, do you want me to get out of the boat? And anytime we make a sudden change, anytime we make a sudden move, anytime that we make a dramatic change in our life, we need to ask God, Lord, do you want me to get out of this boat? Because sometimes God doesn't want us to get out of the boat. Let's talk about this. Sometimes it takes courage to get out of the boat, doesn't it? But sometimes it takes a lot of courage to stay in the boat. Ever been in a boat you wanted to get out of, but God said, no, I want you to stay? Because the people in the boat needed you. Sometimes we go through family situations. Sometimes we go through church situations. Sometimes maybe it's a work situation, school, whatever it is. Wherever there's people that drive us crazy. Wherever there's a situation we don't like. And it's like, I just want out of this boat. Dear Lord Jesus, please let me get out of this. Sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no. I need you to stay right where you're at. Right. But Peter asked. And so God, he's not looking for people that are just wanting a thrill. He's looking for disciples who are wanting to imitate him. And the reason, and I really think the reason that Peter wanted to get out of the boat, it wasn't because he saw Jesus walking on the water and he's thought, well, you know, that's a really neat trick. I wish I could do that too. That's not why Peter wants to walk on water. Peter wants to walk on water because that's where Jesus is at. Right. And he wants to be as close to the Lord as possible. He wants to imitate his rabbi as much as possible. And sometimes if we're going to go where Jesus is at, we're going to have to get out of our boat. We're going to have to get out of the comfortable. We're going to have to get out of the familiar. You know, it's comfortable in boats, right? That's our source of refuge. That's our source of safety. But sometimes if we're going to have to get out of our boat, if we're going to do what God has for us, and we're going to become the people God wants us to be, because we're going to be limited and we're going to have a ceiling on our life as long as we just stay in the boat. And we cling on for dear life and we never step out in faith and we never really try to push the limits of our character and to push the limits of faith and expectation of what God has for us. And so we have to ask the question, Lord, is that you? And do you want me to come out there? Because not everything that is out there is God. Not every opportunity is of God. That's why we have to identify who Jesus is. And if it's him, Lord, do you want me to follow? And do you want me to go there? We need more people who are willing to get out of their boat. Everything that we see today, this church and different ministries, were because people were willing to get out of their boat. I'm thankful that Jesus was willing to leave his comfort zone of heaven and to leave the comforts of heaven and everything that he could have avoided if he would have not just come here and messed with us. But he got out of his boat and he walked amongst us. I'm thankful that these disciples eventually will get out of their boat and they'll begin to preach the truth of the gospel. And you and I are here today because of what they did. I'm thankful for men and women that I know that they felt like God was calling them out there, that there was something more than just what they were experiencing. So they got out of their boat and they fasted and they prayed and they followed Jesus to foreign countries. They followed Jesus to whatever ministry that God has called them. And that is where life becomes exciting. That's where life becomes worth living, is when we get out of our boat and we begin to follow Jesus into the supernatural and we begin to do things that we couldn't do on our own. Point number three, water walkers, they get out of the boat. You can't walk on water as long as you stay in the boat. You can't do the supernatural as long as you stay in the comfortable and the familiar. You know, and I think we have to put ourselves in Peter's shoes here. He wasn't stepping out into calm waters. You know, so many times I've thought about the story in my mind, and for whatever reason, when we think about Peter walking on water, we think about him, you know, stepping on a nice, calm lake, you know, with no waves, and it's just he and Jesus, and there's rainbows above him, and all this stuff. That's not how it was. When he stepped out of that boat, we don't know how high the waves were, but they could have been 5 or 6 feet. It could have been he's walking like this. He's kind of climbing over waves, and he's just trying to stay focused. And so he is taking a big, big risk. And he has to make a quick decision. Am I going to stay in this boat? Or am I going to get out and am I going to follow Jesus? Because the longer he would have stayed in the boat, the more he would have thought about it, probably the longer he would have stayed right where he was. And so he makes the courageous decision. Once God tells him, once the Lord tells him, come, he gets out of this boat. And the obvious and often stated lesson from this story is that if you're going to walk on water, you're going to have to get on your boat. A lot of people want to do incredible things. A lot of people want to do great things for God. A lot of people want to be in the spotlight and want to, we pray things like, Lord, use me. God, do great things in me. And if you're going to experience that, there's going to come a time where you're going to have to get out of your boat. You're going to have to do some fasting and prayer. You're going to have to step out of your comfort zone and stretch yourselves and do some things that you haven't done before. Because that's the only way we get to know the power of Christ within us. It wasn't Peter that was walking on water. It was Jesus enabling him to walk on water. And it's easy to choose Jesus. It's easy to say, I'm a Christian. It's easy to say, I believe. But it's a whole different ball of wax to step out of your boat and trust God that he's going to help you walk on water, isn't it? It's completely different to say, I want to follow Jesus. And then when he's out on water and there's waves and he says, all right, follow me. It's a completely different story, isn't it? So I want to ask you today, what's your boat? What's your comfort zone? Where's that place where, man, I love serving God. I love following Jesus. Until then, until he starts walking on water, and you're like, well, this boat looks nice. Well, what is it in your life you say, well, I just don't do that. I'm willing to follow God, but you know what? If I took that risk, I might fail. I might look crazy. People might talk about me. It's not comfortable for me to do that. I'm a little bit unsure of myself once I get out of this boat. I become insecure when I step out of this boat. What is your boat? It could be a job. It could be a relationship. It could be a mindset. It could be a role that you've assigned yourself. It could be anything that keeps you from stretching your faith, and it might even be a good thing. The boat wasn't necessarily bad. It's just was limiting what Peter could do for his life. And your boat can be anything that represents safety and security apart from God. Could be your money. Could be a home. Could be a lifestyle where you just like predictability and you just like things the way they are. And anybody that comes along and rocks your boat, anybody that says, hey, why don't you get out of that boat and take a risk? Why don't you do something different? Why don't you get involved in this ministry? Why don't you maybe join Celebrate Recovery? Maybe God's calling you to join that group and get involved, or maybe a different ministry of the church. And it's like, well, I'll just stay in my boat, because if I step out there, I'm going to have to become vulnerable and I'm going to have to really stretch myself. So we like our boats, don't we? We don't like to step out and have to deal with people that maybe are different from us. We don't have to step out of our boat anytime it makes us uncomfortable. So if anything pulls you away from following Jesus and into extreme discipleship, that's probably your boat. What is it you've thought about doing? What is it that in your mind you thought, man, I would really love to do that. I would really love to be involved in that. But the moment you put your leg over the edge of the boat, the thought comes in your mind, well, what if I mess up? What if I do the wrong thing? What if I fail? And so you just stay in the boat. And I would say most of our frustrations from our past come from our unwillingness to get out of the boat. I can think of times in my life where the Lord was saying, come out here. There's more for you. There's more for you than just hanging out with everyone else in that boat and just being comfortable. I want you to come out here with me. There's adventure out here. There's risk. There's all kinds of great things. There's great stories that you can tell one day if you would just get out of this boat. And I can think of times in my life where I just stayed right where I was at because it was safe. And so years go by, you think, man, what would have happened if I would have stepped out and showed a little bit of faith there? So anytime God calls us to get out of our boat, it's an opportunity to get to know him more. And we have to get out of the boat. And so we have to ask ourselves this question. What is it that produces fear in me, especially when I think of leaving the boat behind and stepping out in faith? What is it that says I wouldn't do that? Is it our insecurity? Is it people's opinions? Is it just fear of failure? What is it? We have to confront those questions. Maybe Peter had second thoughts of everyone's going to think I'm crazy. What are the other disciples going to think? Well, you know, what happens if I fail? But if you think about those things, you're never going to get out of your boat. Point number four, water walkers expect problems. So Peter, he gets out of the boat and he starts walking on water. You know, and it's a shame that so many times we think of this story and we always think of the fact that he began to sink. But we don't know how far Peter walked, do we? It could have been 100, 200 feet, 300 feet. How far would he have to walk for you to be impressed? I don't think it matters. I think if Peter only took two steps, he's the only one that got out of the boat. He's the only one one day that could tell the story about walking on water. Nobody else could. And so it didn't matter how far he walked. What matters was he took the risk. And it says that he began to see the wind. Now, how can you see the wind? He saw the problems. And he lost his focus on Jesus. And he began to sink. And he cried out to the Lord. Have you ever stepped out of the boat and it was magical for a time, and then problems started to come up, and you want to run right back to the boat? I know I've been there. Have you ever taken a risk for God and stepped out in faith and stepped out of your boat? And for a time, everything is supernatural and things are happening. But then it feels like all we can see is the problems that arise when we do this. And that's when our faith begins to fail. That's when our faith begins to leave us. And that's why we have to keep our focus on Jesus, because he's the one that called us out of the boat. If you step out of the boat, there will be problems. I'm not saying today, hey, some of you need to get out of your boat. Some of you need to get out of your comfort zone, and that's the secret to happiness in life. That's not what I'm saying today. If you step out of the boat, there might be some of the worst problems you've ever faced in your life. But that's not the point. The point is that God is with us, and he will enable us as we step out and walk on water with him. Jesus didn't rebuke the wind and the waves whenever Peter stepped out and stopped walking. He allowed the wind and the waves to continue to take place and to be fierce, the storm to be fierce. But he was still there. And if you've stepped out of your boat recently and you've tried something different, you've stepped out of your comfort zone and it feels like everything's coming against you, I want to tell you, that's what's supposed to happen. Because God wants to increase your faith, and God wants to show you what he can do through you despite the storm, despite the problems. The lie that we're told by Satan is this. Isn't this true? The lie we're told by Satan is that we'll only be happy in the boat. The lie we're told by Satan is if you step out of that boat, you're taking a huge risk, and you just better stay right where you're at because that's the only place God has for you. And the truth is, one of the riskiest things that you can do is to stay in the boat. Sometimes some of the riskiest things we can do is to not change anything. Sometimes the riskiest choice we can make in our life is to not do anything different and stay where we're at. Why? Because years can go by and we regret because we knew that God was calling us to something different. God was calling us to take a risk and we didn't get out of our boat. Boats can capsize and leak. Boats aren't perfect. Your money can't save you. Your job is not your savior. Your family isn't what you worship. All of these things can be boats. All of these things. God has good things outside of out of our boat. And we know that we're going to have to pay a price for them. And the lie that Satan will often tell us is you just better stay right here because it's safe here. When the truth is, God has so much for us outside of our little boat. God has so much more for us than just our own little circle of friends. God has so much more for us than just our own little world that stops and ends with our job and our house. And we're just living and we're just trying to exist. When God wants us to step out into adventure and leave safety and go out and take a risk and trust that He will be there with us. Can we clap our hands to the Lord? So the bottom line is everything is risky. Sometimes we take a bigger risk by just staying where we're at. Point number five, water walkers accept fear as the price of growth. The choice to follow Jesus is a choice to constantly confront fear. If you're not confronting fear in your life, I seriously question whether you're really following Jesus. We need to take more risks, and it can be small things. You know, a few months ago, my wife suggested that we do this bicycle, what do you call it, a tour, marathon contest, race, whatever it is, whatever I pedaled 36 miles doing yesterday. And it sounded good in February. Sure, put me down. But as time got closer to the race, I wanted to stay in my boat. More to the point, I wanted to stay in my bed 5 a.m. yesterday. But we went out and we had a great time. A lot of fun. A lot of people from church were involved with that. And I know that's not really spiritual, but it got me out of a boat. Showed me that there's more to life. There's little things. There's opportunities out there. No, they're not extremely spiritual, but sometimes we just need to get out of our boat in everyday life. Because those things teach us spiritual things as well. And so the choice to follow Jesus is to constantly confront fear. And do you think that this opportunity was the last time that Peter would confront fear? No. You see, this incident was so important because although Peter eventually began to sink because of the winds and the waves, bottom line is he got out of the boat. And I think at the end of the day, he learned a lot about himself and he learned a lot about God. He learned that, you know what? That felt good. I got out of my boat. And guys, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe how awesome it is. The only person we could talk to about walking on water, there's two people, Jesus and Peter. And I think at the end of the day, the disciples are at the campfire and they ask Peter, was it worth it? He would say, oh man, was it absolutely worth it. That was incredible. And I believe what it did is it helped Peter realize that God was with him because he would have to repeatedly get out of his boat if he was going to do what God had called him to do. And the truth is that walking on water and the fear of walking on water will never go away. Every day that we get up and we choose to follow Jesus is a choice to walk on water. And following Jesus is about constantly growing, which means that we perpetually go to uncharted waters and take on new challenges. The decision to grow always involves a choice between risk and comfort. That means if you really want to be like Jesus, you're going to have to take some risks. You're going to have to get out of some boats. And some of us, we have been desensitized by the boat. Church can be a boat. Some of you, Christianity is about coming here, doing what we're doing right now, and then going home. For you, that is what, quote unquote, following Jesus is all about. Giving a few dollars in the offering, showing up at the right place on Sunday, not going to get too involved, not going to step out of the boat. And I'm not trying to be preachy and I'm not trying to be condescending. I'm trying to help you understand that there's so much more to following Jesus than that.
You're right.
Amen. And could it be we've lost a generation? And I grieve. The statistics are 70% of teenagers, once they graduate, will leave church and they will never come back. And I think a part of it is we've made it boring. We've made it just about showing up, just doing right things. When God is saying, no, I have an adventure for you. I have a mission for you. I have a task for you. And it's going to require you to get uncomfortable. You know, when my wife and I were dating, I did my best to convince her not to do this. And some of you are looking like I'm crazy right now, but I'm just being honest. Because I know what ministry is like. And a lot of times it looks good from the boat, but that's not the truth. And so when we were dating, like, you sure you want to do this? You sure you want to leave Austin? You sure? And one day I started in doing that because I was a ignorant male. Young man, if you're dating somebody, don't do that. And we were in the car, and I sat in, and I looked over, and big tears were running down her eyes. She said, Jeremy, I know that God has so much more for me than this. I want to thank her for getting out of her boat. So Peter, point number six, water walkers see failure as an opportunity to grow. See, I don't think Peter failed that day. Technically, we could say he did. But it was his willingness to risk that failure that helped him grow. And if you step out of your boat, you're going to fail. If you step out of your boat, you're going to do some unwise things. You're going to mess up. You're going to get distracted like Peter. You're going to get afraid like Peter did. But that doesn't take away from the fact that he got out of his boat. And failure doesn't shape us. It's the way that we respond to failure that shapes us. You see, some people, they get out of the boat and they start to sink. And we get into self-pity and despondency and like, I'll never do that again. Some of us maybe have taken some risk. We try to get involved in a ministry and either people disappointed us or we disappointed ourselves. Maybe we didn't do as good of a job as we thought we could. And so we said, I'll never do that again. I'm going to stay in my boat. They'll never, ever ask me to get involved in that again. I want to tell you, sometimes in ministry, it's easy to get that attitude because people disappoint you, don't they? Sometimes we disappoint ourselves. I can think of times in my life where I really dropped the ball. But that doesn't change the fact that God called you. That doesn't change the fact that God said, come. It doesn't change the fact that, you know what, I had enough faith to get out of the boat. And I believe that God's still with me. So if you failed today, if you've gotten out of the boat before and you felt like it backfired, get out of the boat one more time. Because that's where God wants us to be. Because that's the only way people's lives are going to be changed, is if we get out of our boat. And to bring it into a current situation, the only way our nation's going to be changed is if people get out of their boats. We start talking to one another. We start loving one another. We start being Christians. We just love people regardless of who they are. We start being Christians, start loving one another. You know, last Sunday was so awesome because those Egyptians, they got out of their boat, didn't they? And we got out of our boat. And when people leave their boats and begin to follow Jesus, we discover that there's a supernatural power there that can take us to places we can't go by ourselves. And so in our culture where we say these people go here, these people stay here, whether it's race, ideology, politics, whatever, what would happen if more people got out of their boats and just started following Jesus? Point number 7, water walking brings us a deeper connection with God. Some of you, you've lost that passion you've had for God. And I want to just maybe suggest to you that it might be because you haven't really followed Him. Sure, you say the right things, you do the right things, but He's outside of the boat. He's outside of your comfort zone. And He's saying, come on, come on. He's not mad at you. Some of us stay in the boat because we think God's mad at us and we're not good enough and we're not holy enough and talented enough. That's not what. Stop focusing on you. When you start focusing on God and you follow Him, He will supernaturally help you to walk on water. Peter was not a superhero. He was a fisherman. Ordinary guy, just like everyone in here. And God supernaturally helped him to walk on water. You see, I there's a lot of days I get up and I know I can't do this. But I know God called me. So I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm not going to focus on the problems. I'm going to focus on Jesus. And the only way to real growth is to get out of your boat. The only way to really follow Jesus is to get out of the boat. Lord, give me great faith. Lord, give me faith to move mountains. Well, when you pray that, you realize that He's probably going to make you get out of your boat. Some of us, maybe we've just kind of parked at some places and we've said, this is what we're going to do, and I'm going to do this for God, and I won't do any more. And you can stay there. Probably still make heaven. But that's not the life God has for you. It's not the life God has for your kids. God has an adventure. I want to honor two people. I guess technically three. My wife has showed me what it looks like to get out of a boat. And my sister and brother-in-law have showed me what it looks like to get out of a boat. And even though all three of them left me in a cloud of dust yesterday, I appreciate Celebrate Recovery Ministry and all that has happened. Have you realized how many people have been baptized this year through that ministry? And I don't say it enough, but I appreciate them, because it only would have happened, they would have stepped out of a boat. If they wouldn't have started that ministry, they would have still been good Christians, good people. But there's more. There's more. I wonder if you all stand right now. I wonder if we could close our eyes all over this place. Yet, if you're comfortable with it, if you could lift up your hands. Why don't you pray that God would show you what your boat is? What is it that keeps you from really doing the supernatural, what God has called you to do? What is it that you've dreamed about and you thought about? And you know it's a desire that God's put there, but maybe you start to take the first step and you get to the edge of the boat, but negativity and cynicism and all the things that keep us where we're at take in. And I want to just pray that God would help us to get out of our boat. Lord, I pray for every person here today. Lord, I pray, Jesus, Lord, give us the faith and give us the courage to leave our boat. God, give us the faith, God, to stretch ourselves. God, maybe it's loving people and talking to people, Lord, outside of our little circle. Lord, maybe it's going back to something, Lord, that we used to do, but we just stopped because we lost our passion and we lost our faith. God, I pray for every person here today, God. Give us the faith and courage, God, to follow you wherever that may be. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask us today, I wonder if we could flood these altars. And as we come up here, I want us to really pray that God would help all of us to stretch our faith. See, we can pray for our nation, we can pray for our communities, and all that's good, but that's going to require us to get out of our boat and to go to people. Pray that this week we would leave our boats of comfort and safety, and we would just love people wherever they're at. Love people, whoever they are. Take a step of faith. Some of you need to go home today, and you just need to dream a little bit. Some of you have been in the boat so long, you don't know what it's like to even think about getting outside. Some of you need to just think about getting out of this boat. Maybe you're at a point in life where you have the freedom to do more. And you need to take more risk. Whatever it is, young people, dream about what God has for your life. But we're going to sing another song here today. Maybe you're here today and you've been coming for a while and you need to step out of the boat and go to the waters of baptism. We can baptize you today. When we get baptized, we are telling the Lord that we're all in, that we're committed to his cause, and we want to make him Lord of our life. So why don't we do that today? Why don't we ask that God would just lead us and that we would have the courage to follow? Why don't we do that right now? Let's lift up our hands over this place.